Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app.
Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sand Hill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. I've seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast.
Yes, we are back.
I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I am J-Clone 72.
And we're joined by a guest on this episode. Did you know that? Here, come out from underneath the bed.
Hey, how you doing? I'm the monster from under the bed.
I'm not friends with you.
I just like watching you sleep.
Yeah, that's what today's episodes are about.
Oh, gosh.
But today's episode, we're going to talk about monsters under the bed.
Now, is this like, now what kind of monsters are we talking here? Like,
Look, I pulled some from Reddit, from some other places, from Mysterious Universe.
I got two I could reference right now.
Do you really?
Monsters under your bed? Oh,
under
yeah.
Under my bed?
Or anyone's bed. Famous monsters under beds. How about that?
Oh, okay. Well, no, this is just an episode about, like, kids experiencing, like, monsters out of the closet, monsters under the bed, that kind of stuff.
Oh, gotcha. Like when Chucky, the episode of Rugrats, when he had that monster living under his bed?
I guess I was thinking more Monsters, Inc.
That's kind of one. That's the closet, though. It's not under the bed.
Yeah, but no, it's like kids experiencing the paranormal by themselves.
Do you remember that episode, though, in Rugrats?
No.
Oh, come on. Chucky has that creature living under his bed. He even looks under and sees it.
Was it his shirt or something?
Yeah, when they flipped the light on, it was a sweater the whole time.
Sweater, that's
just a bundled up sweater.
But before we get into the episode, I have some front of house stuff.
Ooh, okay.
Are you ready?
I'm born ready.
You excited?
Kind of.
You pumped?
Okay, yes. Pumped.
Calm down. T-shirt design contest.
Woo.
As of this being out, it should be over. It will be over, actually. The voting may still be going on, so check out the Facebook page.
I mean, we still have to sort through all of them. And
yeah. I got to edit some of them and stuff like that.
A lot, yeah.
But no, there's tons of awesome t-shirt designs got turned in. There's a vote going on right now on Facebook, maybe. Don't know. Time travel podcasting, hard to tell. But yeah, they will be available for purchase off of thecryptidsofthecorn.com and the shop tab June. So check that out. There's a lot of awesome ones, I tell you that.
Yeah,
right
there
now.
Are. At least just the ones I've seen so far, they're freaking sweet.
And I already, probably by the time this comes out, I've already ordered several.
But you do that.
Huh?
You just do that.
I love our shirts.
I know. Well, not a bad thing. You're just an orderer.
I like our shirts. I like wearing our stuff.
It's good.
I'm sorry. And I think I've bought every shirt that you wear, too.
Just about, I would say.
Have you ever bought a shirt from us?
I think I did when we tried to test out the new shop, right?
I think you sent it to your friend.
Oh, no. And it didn't work. That was before we got the new one.
Oh, because it was a weird thing with... Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. No, so yes, I've bought every shirt you wear.
Yeah, I think so.
And I bought every shirt I wear and every shirt Emily wears.
Nice.
Yes, awesome. No, so check it out. A lot of cool ones. I don't want to ruin any of them, but you know which one I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Just check our Facebook
page. The one I cannot
page.
Wait to wake you, to make you wear.
I'm not wearing that.
Yes, you are.
Brandon, I'm not wearing it. I'm sorry.
But yeah, check it out. Conferences. We got a lot coming up. Monster Fest should already be over by the time this episode comes out, I believe, or it's the week of. If it's the week of, come see us. Come hang out. If it's after, we had a great time. It was a lot of fun. It was awesome seeing all you guys. I'll name names after the event. You know, we're still pre-recorded by several weeks.
We're still catching up.
Yeah. But yeah, so the next one after that shouldn't be until we get to Hocking Hills, the Hocking Hills Bigfoot Festival. Come check it out. The biggest one in the country.
In the country, and we're speaking.
We're speaking at the biggest festival in the country, which is an incredible honor. B-Mills puts it on with Absolutely. An amazing team of people.
Yep.
Including, you know, a ton of great, amazing people. But yeah, come out to that one. I think it starts Thursday and ends Saturday.
I think so.
If you're coming, let us know. Well, because we always do hangouts and stuff like that. I'm assuming we're going to be hanging out at a bar a couple times and probably go out on a hike.
Somewhere. Yeah.
We talked about kayaking on Sunday before we head back.
Oh, okay.
Or tubing.
Sweet.
One of the two. Because of the hockey.
I've never done it down there.
You've kayaked.
I thought that was Mohican.
No. Yeah. But where you and Emily flipped was on the Hocking.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
Okay. I guess I
have. I warned you. I'm like, don't help her. And you're like, what? And then you flipped again. And right.
Hey, we saved everything.
No,
Oh, come on. I saved the shirt, the speaker.
You didn't save the speaker. The speaker was already strapped on.
That was strapped on. That was on yours or mine?
That was on yours.
So, okay. So I did save it.
No, because...
Okay, I have
everybody's oars, and I'm holding onto a kayak and grabbing stuff out of the... We didn't lose anything, which is amazing. Lose nothing.
I snagged that shirt with my foot.
You did. Yeah.
Quite an achievement, if I say so myself.
Then Squonkapalooza is the weekend after that, second weekend in August. Come out and hang out. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Squonkapalooza is a blast.
I think we'll have a Squonk shirt for sale at Squonkapalooza. Anything?
You know how I feel.
We'll both be wearing them.
Nah, this is a false statement.
We have to. It's our shirt.
I'll wear the official Squonk shirt.
It is the official Squonk shirt. It's the only one we have.
I'll wear the Squonkapalooza.
David's shirt. Is really good too.
Is that what? Did you do it for them?
Yeah, remember the hot mess one? That's the pink one I wear. I like.
Oh,
I
yeah, wear a lot absolutely. Of pink shirts, yes.
I'm literally sitting wearing a pink shirt. No, so yeah, conferences. Then it's Bigfoot and Bruce after that. We're just going to hang out. Then Mothman. We'll be there doing. If you want to come do a bus tour, we'll take you out in the bus.
Yeah.
Take you around.
The Mothman?
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Pre-sign up only. You got to let me know.
Yeah.
And we'll set up times. But we'll do some loops and go on some walks and stuff like that.
That one definitely needs to be predetermined.
I may even get Linda Sigmund to come on the bus and give us an actual tour with her running the loudspeaker. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be awesome.
Show us where she actually had their encounter and everything like that.
That would be sweet.
Yeah, and then after that, it's nothing till Crypticon. Well, our event, October 5th. And then the next one after that is Crypticon.
Yep. Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree.
Come October get your tickets. 5th. As of recording this, a third of the tickets are already sold out.
Yep.
Vendors Market is free to come and hang out, though. So make sure you come support everybody. We have local and non-local people coming to have a heck
celebrate.
Of a time.
Yeah. So you can find all that information on
Australia and Oklahoma, North Carolina, South Carolina.
It's going to be a big event.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
You can find all the information at cryptsofthecorn.com.
All right. I know we've already been goofing off for a hot minute.
All right, let's get to this.
There's people that complain. I got one more announcement.
Okay.
Because you said this yesterday, and I wrote it down.
Ooh.
If anybody of our listeners, there's a lot of you guys, and so I'm hopeful, works for a computer company.
Okay.
They can get us a good deal. Or a sponsorship with a free computer. We'd love that.
That would be awesome.
I need a computer that can handle video editing and audio editing and live streaming.
Pretty much the one we got now is
she's running at full capacity and she's taking forever to wake up.
And she's about to take off, I think, airborne the way the fan goes sometimes.
Yeah, so we are looking for a new computer. If anybody knows anything that can help, you know. But yeah, let us know. Anything else?
No.
All right, ready for Monsters Under the Bed?
Yeah.
All right. One very spooky encounter comes from us from Reddit. It's a Reddit user who claims that they were around 5 years old at the time, but remembers like it was the last week. According to the witness, him and his family lived in a very rough apartment in a bad neighborhood. He says that one night he heard strange noises in his room coming from under the bed, which got so intense that he would run into his parents' room to sleep with them. The parents themselves shrugged it all off as the kid's imagination playing tricks on him. Then they sort of just wrote him off. However, on the second night, things would take a turn for more frightening, and he says this. On the second night, I wasn't caught by surprise anymore. It was the first. That's when I first said it. I warned them of what I already knew, that there was a monster under my bed. But grown-ups do not believe children, not with anything that matters anyways. We think that they have a limited understanding of the world because they are not yet shackled by the chains of logic. Mom and Dad went into my room, checked under the bed, and even acted like something had grabbed his feet, but it was just a joke. They told me there was no monsters in real life, and if there were, they'd be friendly monsters like the ones I watched on Sesame Street.
Yeah, okay.
I kept insisting that, and they got mad. She was very tired. She was working long hours while she was pregnant, and I would hear no more of it. Father was a bit more understanding, but only for the first couple of days. After that, he refused to go into my room, and he rolled his eyes whenever I brought it up, the monster. I even heard them talking outside of our apartment once, saying that they weren't responded when I talked about monsters anymore, that I'll never learn if they do. Said I needed to see a doctor if this continued. My memories of the doctor were not fond ones, so that's when I gave up. I didn't call them in night anymore, nor any other nights. For the next 5 months, we lived there. I knew they wouldn't come in. But the noises would still. It always did. It was almost asleep, very late in the night, right under my bed. First, there would be a faint crying noise. If the floor was thicker, maybe I wouldn't even hear it. The whole story wouldn't exist. Then, their steps, loud but uneven, stumbly, probably right outside my room. Then a terrifying squawk, a door being pushed open, a crying voice, a child's voice. She said, "No, Daddy, please, not today." And then the monster spoke, and it was the only thing I would ever hear it say was, "Shut up."
Hmm.
That's it for the first encounter.
So it sounds like to me that they live in an apartment building, and above the kid's room, he lives above an apartment of an abused child.
No!
That the monster is a fully grown adult.
Man, you're going to ruin this episode really early.
Huh?
Nothing.
Okay.
So you get that kind of vibe off it. Like I said, this is a Reddit story. I don't have a lot of information extra. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if it's a three-story apartment. I don't know if it's like up in our town, where there's just two stories and like there's a shop below them.
Yeah.
So it could be that. Maybe there's nobody up or above them or below them kind of deal. We don't know that.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard the way it's written to understand what he's saying.
Kind of, yeah.
He hears like the noises start under his bed.
Yeah.
And then somebody like walks down the hallway and has a fight right in front of his door.
That's okay. And that part I didn't quite understand.
So to me, I've read it several times and it seems to me like it's, like, he's like, if the floor was thicker, I wouldn't have maybe even hear it walking. Because the floor was so thin, it was creaking every time it was stepping.
Okay.
So he hears this, like, shambling noise coming down and around, and they have this fight, like, right in front of their door.
Mm-hmm.
But he hears the door squawk and everything. I don't know. It does kind of seem like maybe abused child-esque thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard the way it's written. I could also see it maybe being ghost. Like a previous tent, yeah. Like something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this poor kid is getting stuck in the middle of a residual haunting.
Why do you keep calling it a monster, though?
Well, he's 5 years old. It's probably a deep, scary voice and a girl's voice. And I don't know. And all kinds of weird noises.
Okay.
So, like you said, the first, you'd hear a very faint crying noise. The floor was thicker. Maybe I wouldn't even hear the next part. The whole story wouldn't exist. Then there would be steps. A loud, uneven shambling, like a drunk is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
A crying voice, a child's voice that said, "No, Daddy, please, not today." And the monster spoke. It was the only thing he would ever say was, "Shut up."
Yeah, that's not good. I don't like the sound of that. That just conjures up awful thoughts of what's going on. Yeah, I mean,
just remember that for the end.
Okay.
From the site True Ghost Tales comes another creepy account, which supposedly happened in 2007 as the witness is living alone in an apartment she describes being haunted, with lights flickering, her pets acting up, and for no discernible reason. This is all very spooky enough as it is. But things would graduate to her being awoken by the feeling of something sitting on top of her, which left her feeling drained of energy and aftertaste of dread.
The old hag.
Mm. Then one night, she was lying awake waiting for something to happen, and it did. Up from under her bed crept a shadowy entity with apparently malevolent intent, and this is what she said. It was the size of an average person. It was all black and looked as if it was wearing a cloak and a hood, much like the Grim Reaper or the Ghost of Christmas that comes from the Christmas Carol.
Yep.
It was transparent, but blacker than black. So this has been described several times for people that have seen shadow people. It's like fog.
Yeah.
Like every once in a while you can almost see through it, but it's still blacker and void of light.
Yeah.
Darker than the darkness of the room. At one point, I thought I could make out glowing orange eyes, but as soon as it saw that I could move my head, it forced, and she, quotes, my face into the pillow, and I felt it stick something in my back and in the back of my neck. Whatever it stuck in me felt like a jolt of electricity, and I felt my body being pressed hard into the mattress. The familiar buzzing sound was even louder than ever. At one point, I couldn't even breathe. I thought I was going to suffocate. Then it spoke to me in the most evil voice you could ever imagine. I'll never forget what it said as long as I live. It said, I will see to it that you never experience real happiness for the rest of your life.
Oh, wonderful.
You weren't supposed to live. I was so premature when I was born. The doctors told my parents that I wouldn't live, but obviously they were wrong.
Right. So is this like the ghost of the doctor that like...
Well, let's go back through it. So a cloaked entity. So it's like a shadow person-esque thing.
Right.
But she with a clear cloak.
Mm-hmm.
It's blacker than black, but it's transparent in some spots.
Mm-hmm.
She says maybe it had glowing orange eyes. She could see her kind of every once in a while.
Yeah, maybe.
It came out from underneath the bed. It was doing something until it realized she could move. So right now, most people roll sleep paralysis, like you said, the old hag.
Yeah.
But she moved. She turned her head to look at it. Once she turned her head, it grabbed her, forced her into the pillow, stuck something in her back, in her neck, felt like a jolt of electricity.
Yeah, knife.
Or needles.
Okay.
Or something, I don't know. She felt this loud buzzing, get louder. So there was already like an electrical buzz. They got turned up.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if you've ever been put under. You kind of hear that buzz.
I've been put under, but I don't know if I recall that.
When I got my surgery on my neck,
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Then the super evil voice.
Yeah.
And I will see to you never experience real happiness for the rest of your life. You weren't supposed to live.
That's weird.
I almost get changeling vibes.
Why is that even, like... Well, I don't even understand the logic behind that. You weren't supposed to live, so now you can't experience, you're not supposed to experience happiness.
Well, if you're dealing, it's really what do you think you're dealing with in this story?
Right, yeah. Well, I know what she must be dealing with the ghost of a doctor that she defied his orders because, baby ain't going to live. And then she lived. Well, crap, makes me look bad. Now I'm going to off myself and then haunt you when you're an adult. Joke's on you. Defy a doctor's orders. That's just how pompous doctors have become these days.
Some, yeah. But believe me, I've had good and bad experiences this year with doctors.
I'm the science.
No, I don't know. It's bad. Whatever this entity is bad.
Yeah.
Do you see any similarities with other entities so far?
Ooh. Both of these or just that
one? Just this one in particular.
Well, I sleep paralysis at first, but other entities. Freddy Krueger?
I'm not going to tell you. We're going to move on.
Freddy Krueger.
So what was it this thing wanted and did it want? the site Your Ghost Story, which compiles real accounts from people all over the world, telling what their brush with the paranormal, has a treasure trove of such cases, each more bizarre than the next. In one account, the witness says that she used to live in a four-bedroom house in the state of Illinois with her parents and grandparents. One night, she claims that she had come home from a dinner out with her grandparents. That's when her paranormal world would come to see her. She says this: "My grandparents and I had gotten back from the old country buffet." Ooh. Which we still have. I think we still have one around here.
Is it still around?
Yeah, it's in Lima.
The old country buffet is still there? Mm-hmm. No way.
It's a conference center. It was getting pretty... Anybody that's not from the Midwest, they're super good.
The old country, they're dying, though.
Yeah, there's not many of them left. Nope. Go find one. They're good. Sorry. My grandparents and I have gotten back from the old country buffet. It was getting pretty late. As soon as I got home, I ran into the bathroom. Then decided that I should maybe change my clothes and get ready for bed. I decided, hey, since the whole house is pitch black, I could walk and get my clothes naked. I took all my clothes off, kicked them behind the bathroom door, and proceeded down the hallway in the dark. To remind you, it's pitch black, no lights were on. I got to my great-grandmother's room and reached around the dresser, trying to remember where everything was. Counting the drawer handles to make sure I was getting the right clothes, something caught my eye from underneath my great-grandma's bed. It looked like a bed sheet that hung off the bed frame was flickering, and there were curves just a little as if something was peeking out. Mm. So the bed frame that it's hanging off, it's like curved, like something's picking it up to look out.
Right.
I adjusted my vision, and I saw a glowing white, pale face looking right at me. The bed sheets were moving because its hands were moving the sheets to peek at me. I screamed like no other. I flew straight out of my house naked. I told my mother, my grandparents what I had seen. They went back into the room and found nothing. There was nothing under the bed at all. The sheets weren't even messed up. I stood outside naked for at least 1 hour before getting back inside, so freaked out.
Mm. So were her grandparents in the house at the time?
And she's a kid. I want to make that clear. She's like an adult woman that's okay. Running around outside naked.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, everybody was downstairs, I'm going to assume. And she ran upside, you know, and she thought she could kind of walk to her room to where the clothes were to get clothes to put on.
Yeah.
Kids do weird little things.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
can't rule that out ever. Yeah.
This pale white face was staring at her from underneath the bed.
Yeah, that's not good. You're asking if there's similarities between all these. They're all like humans.
That's not. Well, hold on to that.
I'm saying you haven't really described a monster yet.
See, I think you're connecting the wrong dots.
Okay.
It's okay. We'll get you there, baby girl.
Oh, here we go.
But what do you think? Like, this is a bad one. Like,
well, yeah, it just sounds like an intruder.
But no, a pale, like, I don't get human-esque face out of this. I just get, like, a little pale, because it keep it's under a bed.
Right.
Peeking out from underneath the sheets. This isn't, in my head, it's not big.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's got to be smaller, because it's underneath the bed, and then it's pulling the bed sheets back. Imagine if you were
see your face.
An adult man. Yeah. Yeah.
Just to get a peek?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it was kind of glowing. Keep in mind, the room is pitch black. No lights are on.
Yeah, that's weird.
She makes
weird.
That very prominent. And when she looked over, she could see the face.
Face, yeah. Well, it's so pale.
You know? Well, yeah, it was like it was glowing. And I mean, she even used the word, it's glowing.
Okay. I don't know.
This is weird, right?
Yeah.
There is a connection here. Don't worry. You'll get there.
I haven't found it yet.
In another creepy account, the witness says that he was living in Wisconsin and he was 12 years old. That would begin his experience with unexplained phenomena at the night, in which seemed to emanate from underneath the bed. The witness says this: "I remember getting to rest my head on the pillow when I feel something like a fist pushing up on the mattress from beneath me.
Okay.
I was not sleeping. I was not imagining it. I would physically sit up, turn the lamp on, and watch the bed move up and down on spots. Like I said before, this did not happen to me just once, but several times when I was young. My parents lived on the opposite side of the house, and there was no way that one of them could easily fit underneath my bed. I was always too scared to try and jump off and run, or even look underneath it to see what fear of or what it was would get me. After about a minute of it starting, it would stop, and not come back for the rest of the night or, you know, for a few nights in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I never did tell my parents about it, even though it would keep me up late some nights, keeping me sleep deprived.
Mm. As a kid, too.
Third time. They've all been sleep deprived.
Mm. There's your, there.
I think it's just because it would happen so fast. When I woke up the next morning, I wouldn't even be thinking about it until the next day. And it would be the next night already by the time it would cross my mind again. The years following this, I think I still have the irrational fear to sit on my bed with my feet under the ground and feel really uncomfortable when I do. I also still have not been able to explain what was happening during that age. I definitely remember every bit of it truly happening.
Hmm.
So, kid, his right. bed, it's getting pushed up. So this happened to me, but it's because I had bunk beds and Luke was underneath my...
Pushing out. Yeah. I was going to ask that question. Was there bunk beds involved?
Yeah.
Because I used to do that to my brother, too.
Yeah, so it was like that, but there are no bunk beds.
You know, the old trick where you stick 2 feet it up sounds against like, it, yeah. and you just launch him up in the air?
Well, it sounds like he's the only kid.
Yeah. So it's probably not that. Or his parents are very elaborate pranksters, and they like to lay on the bed and just...
for years, keeping him sleep deprived.
Yes.
Now, so they all had trouble sleeping. They've all had chronic nightmares. They've all had, like, sleep deprivedness mm-hmm. so far.
So Freddy Krueger.
See, he wants you to sleep.
I guess so.
Because he can only kill you in your sleep.
I guess that's just when he gets
These guys don't want you to be asleep. They want you to be awake for the phenomena.
Okay.
But they don't want you to, like... there's a lot of control here.
Yeah.
And they're targeting kids. Human predators.
Yeah.
Like, that's why they target kids is for the control.
Okay.
Like, watch SVU. It's, you know. So it's very similar. These entities are doing a similar thing. It's targeting a very vulnerable group.
There you go. Vulnerable. Have you ever experienced that thing, like, that feeling when you're falling asleep? Or like just as you're falling asleep, I can't tell if you're awake or you're somewhere in between, but it almost feels like the bed or the whatever couch you're laying on is like vibrating.
I've had the jumps, the jolts.
I've had the jolts where it like jolts, like you feel like you're falling real fast.
I have a lot of exploding head syndrome.
What's that mean?
So right as you're about to fall asleep or right when you're waking up, you hear like a loud crash or a bang or an explosion.
Okay.
It's not real. I would jump up and go look for something.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear pretty regularly now, a couple times a week, waking up or falling asleep.
Okay.
And it's just something with your brain that, like, there's something a little bit off with the startup routine or the shutdown routine. So it's like an audio hallucination.
Huh. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of people have it.
Yeah. Well, I've never, you know, I think I don't. I'm pretty sure I don't.
You'd know.
Like, yeah. I don't
It's
sound
called
really
exploding
at all.
Head syndrome.
Huh. I don't know why that.
Like, from when it's all the time, my best thing is like a cabinet falling over.
Oh, okay.
Like a big wood cabinet. Like that's the sound it makes.
Yeah, okay.
So I used to hop up and go look for something that fell and everything like that.
Until nothing
I
was there.
Heard it was it's exploding head syndrome.
Gotcha. Huh.
Man.
Did not know that. Okay.
Any thoughts so far?
Well, so sleep deprived individuals hallucinating phenomena.
I don't think they're hallucinating.
Okay. So sleep deprived individuals are discovering peeping Toms.
Kids.
What'd I say?
No, sleep-deprived individuals. Oh. I'm just saying.
Sleep-deprived kids.
Picking on kids.
Hallucinating, or not hallucinating, sleep-deprived and discovering peeping Toms hiding out in their houses or abusing kids in their houses.
Sure. And yet another case, the witness says he was 6 years old at the time and comes to remember it as clear as day. At the time, he said he lived in the trailer park in Pennsylvania and seems to have been very haunted. He describes how he would hear footsteps at all hours walking through the house or walking through the trailer. And now he and his sister had screamed when they saw a shadowy figure lurking at the foot of their bed or outside their window, which would vanish right before their eyes. Then there began the disturbances centered around his own bed. He says this: every night I would get ready to go to sleep. My bed would start shaking very slowly. Then after a while, it would shake faster. Is this what you were experiencing?
No. It's just almost like the whole bed was just had like, or couch had like this little vibration to it. Just like a minor vibration. And it's almost like the time you notice it, it's you wake up. But I'd experienced it when I was alone and around people, like literally someone sitting on the couch with me. And I feel it vibrating, but then, and then it wakes me up and I ask them and they have no idea what I'm talking about. What?
Every time you open your mouth.
You've never had the vibrating
I'm
thing?
I'm more convinced you were abducted.
Okay.
That's just your chip waking you up. All right. Like he said, the first time it happened to me, I ran out of my room and told my parents. They said it was just the washer and dryer. But the thing I didn't get was even when the washer and dryer were not on the washer and dryer were not on my bed, they would still be shaking. Eventually, I started to sleep on the couch, but then the same thing started to happen there, which resulted in me sleeping on the floor beside my bed. I slept on the floor for over 2 years. I never slept on my bed until we moved out of the house. The house we moved into was a newly built house. Even though we had moved, I still did not sleep on the bed until a few months ago. I still today, nobody believes me, but I know it happened. After the experiences, it was started to get really intense in the supernatural. Mm. So, yeah, his bed would shake so violently. His parents said it's because the washer and dryer was running. He's like, there's a washer and dryer on my bed?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And it would get so bad he went to sleep on the couch, and it started on the couch.
Yeah.
And then it would get so bad he slept on the floor. Hmm. So it's this whole thing with keeping like him uncomfortable, keeping him sleep deprived.
Yeah.
This whole follow through with that. And him and his sister were both seeing the shadowy entity.
They both saw it. Yeah, it's big. Yeah.
So there's another one with the shadowy entity. Hmm. Hmm. Any thoughts?
I don't know what this is, this phenomena.
The next report comes from a witness who was quite young during their encounter. At 12 years old, at the time, her family had a cat who roamed around the premises with a little tinkling bell around its neck.
That's weird. Okay.
Tinkering. Bell around its neck. And she claimed that she had her frightening encounter with the paranormal as she was laying down to go to sleep one night. She says this. So as I prepared for bed, which was on the sofa that converted into a bed, I proceeded to turn off the lights and the television to lie down. After a long while trying to sleep, I hear a heavy breathing noise that seemed to originate from underneath my bed. I thought to myself that it was probably my imagination, or that I was probably breathing so heavy that I could hear myself. With that thought in mind, I then decided to hold my breath and stop breathing to see if it was me. To my surprise, I still heard the breathing, just as heavy as ever.
Mm.
As the breathing was still going on, I then thought that it could have probably been the cat. Regardless, though, I was frozen in fear and did not dare move, as I was thinking of grabbing the television remote to turn it on, although I don't actually remember if I did or did not. So some kind of fuzzy memories here.
Right.
So as I was wondering if it was the cat or not, I then heard the cat's bell jingle two rooms down the house. This just freaked me out even more. Since this happened so long ago, I don't actually remember how I spent the rest of the night. Anybody have any idea what this could have been, she asked. I remember the next morning I checked under the bed and the couch and found nothing.
Hmm. So is this
super heavy breathing. She's so scared. She just lay down for bed.
Are all these things like demons?
Are you asking?
Yeah.
I won't tell you to the end.
It made me think of lyrics of a song, and then two separate songs in the same band, even, we're getting here.
Hmm.
So.
No, so just another one, weird sleep, like messing with the sleep, scaring kids,
mm-hmm.
but there's just super heavy breathing from behind.
Like the kid from Hey Arnold.
Mouth breather?
Yeah, that's always behind Helga, mm-hmm. and she punches him.
Yeah, well, I think that was Jeffrey Dahmer, like, inspired. Didn't he look like Jeffrey Dahmer?
He
looked like young Jeffrey Dahmer.
Sure.
He ate the other kids. Didn't he have a shrine to some of the kids?
No, that was Angelic.
No, Helga had a shrine. But he had a different shrine, I thought, in one of the episodes.
I can't remember.
You know, that's the perfect segue into today's sponsor. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, I love this.
All right.
Hey, we're down here at Mel's Hole, and Justin, where'd you go?
Help! I'm falling down the hole!
You fell down Mel's Hole?
Yes, I keep falling, and I think I'm going to be falling for a really, really long time.
Oh, no. How long till you have enough time for me to get a rescue crew?
I think I do, but I'm really hungry, and I found a dead tumor seal as I was falling. But it looks absolutely disgusting. Do you have anything to help?
I think I have just the thing. Here, let me toss down a couple of bottles of Flavors of the Forest Bigfoot Breath.
Really, really chuck them so they catch up.
Here it comes, one. And two.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to eat this tumor seal now with Flavors of the Forest. Where could the other people get this amazing product to cook their own tumor seal?
You can get this wonderful, amazing, tasty product at flavorsforest.com/corn. Add it to anything, and it will make your food taste delicious. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing some more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she's decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Grace loves it. She just gobbles it up. Go check out Badlands Ranch. You can get there at badlandsranch.com/corncrew and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/corncrew today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Glad to see you got out of that hole finally.
Yeah, and we're back. Oh my gosh.
How was that seal?
Those are so good.
That tumor seal good?
It was good. It was good. Yeah, so you haven't got any connection yet?
Or
pedophiles and demons, I think, is where you're at.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Going outside the U.S., we have account reports from the true ghost tales from a witness in South Africa. An adult with two young sons, aged 3 and 4 at the time. She says strange things started happening when they lived in a cottage, and one night her children woke her up with panicked, frightened screams. They would tell her that there was something lurking underneath their beds. The woman had various pastors come to bless the place, but nothing seemed to help. The woman says this: "I tried everything, even got numerous pastors out to bless the cottages and or the cottage and my kids. That didn't help. Eventually, I got frustrated with my eldest son, kept talking of a person called Hank. Now we don't know any Hank. I finally found a group of people who call themselves Spitza." And it's an abbreviation for something. She didn't put it here.
Okay.
They came to the house, did a paranormal investigation. They came out with a picture of a man's face in the window, a child's voice that I had made contact. After this, we moved immediately.
You know what the voice said?
Well, I got more.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Things settled down. There was no longer any talks of Hank. However, over the last few months, my two sons had become more and more scared to go in their new bedroom. I now have them both sleeping on the mattress in my bedroom at night. When I ask them what was wrong, they tell me the monster under my youngest son's bed. Now I had removed everything from under the bed so they could see there's nothing there. When I asked what this monster looks like, they described a little boy. Okay, so what do you think he was saying?
So I think it's Hank, and they hear something. They put their ear up to the wall, and they just hear the faint sound of saying, I sell propane and propane accessories. Taste the meat, not the heat. And the kids are like, running their mom's room.
And they just had King of the Hill on in South Africa.
Yeah, that's new show.
Yeah,
they're just tired, and they see in the rerun. That's just Hank Hill. Dang it, Bobby.
Anyways, so yeah, a man's face and a child's voice. So that's weird, isn't it? And then they move to the new house. It calms down for a little bit. Then it starts picking back up again. And then they describe the monster as being a little boy.
Okay.
So is this contact voice? Is that Hank? Is the monster Hank? It's hard when it's kids.
Right, yeah. Oh, right, exactly. Agreed. Because you can't get kids, you kind of use their imagination. I mean, not to say kids are ever wrong or like telling lies, but they use their imaginations in ways to describe things that might not make the most sense to an adult.
She has one more thing here. We've also had our wall unit moved on its own, and the toilet seat slams down as if it's getting up, as if someone's getting up. I'm freaking out, and I cannot keep moving around. I don't know if it's the same boy from the previous house or if I just chose another house a haunted house by accident.
It sounds like it's a her issue, and this is an internal thing. It's following her.
Well, I think it's following, like, a lot of these, the kids move rooms or move positions or whatever, and it continues.
Yeah. See, that's the lowest common denominator. It's these kids. They're the problem.
Yes, that's the episode is kids with monsters under the bed. So, yes, that was the common theme. You caught on.
Yes. So the common theme is they have problems, and they just make it all up.
They're all bad kids.
Yeah, they're all bad kids. That's just what it is. They're just bad. It's just a group of collection of bad kids.
Let's just talk about some stuff before we get into some what may be happening here.
I mean, I have no idea.
So let's talk about some of the stuff that's a full through with all these accounts. The monsters change. There are some similarities between some of the stories. I found several more, but like I guess we'll probably do kids. There's the paranormal again because there's just tons and tons and tons of them. But a lot of these entities are just made to freak out the kids.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it's like sleep deprivation.
Mm-hmm.
It's causing these kids to stay up, causing these kids to be awoken. Some of them get very violent with the lady, like the little girl that got grabbed and forced into a pillow.
Yeah.
Some of it sounds like you said, like an abusive, the first story, like an abusive relationship happening somewhere else.
Yeah.
But are these things just mimicking those situations? Are they mimicking kids' voices? So this last story had the adult man. But the monster, and these kids know it's a monster. That's impressive.
Right.
But it says they look just like a little boy.
Yeah.
Well, they know it's a monster.
They know it's not like a human thing.
It makes you kind of think of black-eyed kids and that kind of stuff, you know, where they put on this visage of being a harmless little kid. But it's actually, you know, people describe it as being in front of a great white shark. Like, you know, this is a predator. This is...
The moment you let them in the door, it's your lunch.
So that's one of the follow-throughs. Several times they move. And, it still happens, whether it's moving rooms, moving beds.
Right, yeah.
People look under and there's nothing really there.
Mm-hmm.
So what is special about under the bed?
What's a portal to another realm?
It could be, but...
Are you not expecting that?
No, it's because it's right.
Oh. Oh, yeah, okay.
Kind of, because what we're talking about here is these, like, liminal spaces, like spaces that freak people out.
Uh-huh.
And it's closets... And under the bed. And why I think these are is these are kind of spaces that you can be... your bedroom is supposed to be your most secure position.
Mm-hmm.
So these entities are messing with kids, a vulnerable part of the population.
And there's...
In a area they're supposed to feel safe.
Personal space, yeah.
It's like a nest for any animal. You know, it's supposed to be where you're the safest is in your bed.
Right.
So it seems like a very much... deliberate attack on that space.
Right.
An attack on the psyche. And when we get into what these creatures may be, that's an important factor to remember.
I wonder if this, because you ever seen the movie Little Monsters?
Mm-mm. Remember you asked me that. I said no.
Oh, my bad, my bad. So it's a movie about this kid. I can't remember the extreme details in it, but he has this monster that comes up from under his bed.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go, like when he goes under the bed, it opens up like a portal to like an underworld.
Is that where it's all foggy?
Down below? Like below the bed or in the other world?
In the other world.
No, it's just like a normal underground like world with all these different creatures.
No, I've never seen it. You showed me a little video of it.
Okay.
Because don't they use the under space to hop around?
Yeah, they go to different places. They go like up under, they come out under different beds in different places.
So Hildy, that Netflix show with a bunch of folklore mixed into like modern day society, they have, what were they called? They had little house goblins that did the same thing. Where it's like, it's nowhere space is what they call it. Okay. It's like the space behind a cabinet, the space under your bed, the space in the couch cushions. It's like, it's a, like they're openings to another world. It's really weird how they explain it, but it's very interesting.
Yeah.
That's how they can hop around. So it's these areas, like these liminal spaces that really freak us out. And I kind of wonder if it is, like you were kind of joking at, but portals.
Yeah.
An area, these are doorways. These are zones where these entities can enter. Hmm. For whatever reason, we don't know the rules. Anybody pretends they know the rules, is, you know, it's whatever. But I always kind of wonder if it's something to do with that. What do you think?
I think there's something to it. What are those things called, like corner monsters? You ever heard of that?
Yeah, so that's a new, like one of the creepypastas, the new, like the new things with the back rooms and stuff like that.
Yeah, but it's kind of one of those ideas, like in the corners of your, the how.
And I think that's getting to like interdimensional, extra-dimensional beings.
Yeah.
Because we're getting, I think with science right now, we're on that verge of the flip to where it's getting good enough to realize it doesn't know anything. And we're going to make this flip to like opening basically a bigger box and being like, oh gosh, you know, we're such a small part of such a much bigger complex system.
Yeah.
Inside our own world.
Right.
Where there's fourth, fifth dimensional beings, whether you want to, I'm not saying they're intelligent beings. They may just be like animal things.
Right.
Or predators. Or, you know, we're talking about visible light on the Crimson Coffee today that, you know, we're seeing less than 5% of light.
Right.
It's visible light. So what if the other 95%, there are these creatures live there
on another spectrum we can't perceive.
Yeah. And so what if that's what we're experiencing and these are zones where they can come interact on our plane?
Well, I mean, let's just say if all those stories are, you know, true stories, let's just say they are, that would be a good way to explain a lot of that.
I have a little list and I'm really happy you didn't catch. Maybe I didn't do my job good enough then, but you didn't catch my line that I was going for. So let's talk about what's happening. A lot of psychologists, so I read this, and there's a couple guys, I don't know how I feel about this, say that this is the overactive imagination of a child. So these ages we're talking about, the youngest we had is 4, the oldest we had is 12. These are the most active a human brain's imagination will ever be.
Okay.
Right before puberty.
Yeah. I think mine's still working beyond those capacities. My imagination.
Compared to when you were 6?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
I don't know. When you were talking to the Council of Trees and stuff like that?
I was?
Mm-hmm.
When I was 6?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I had a whole council out in the woods.
But
I don't know.
So this age range, a lot of psychologists believe, is you're having, like they said in the beginning of the articles, we kind of think kids have these overactive imaginations. They don't have a lot of world experience. So they hear like the pipes creaking. So then they imagine a whole monster around it.
Right.
Because they don't know what that sound is.
So they're making a monster to...
The house adjusting. You hear that. You know, now it's a big shaggy monster that's, you know, shaking around in the walls.
Yeah.
You hear these things and their imaginations are so powerful that they will build a whole thing around it.
Right.
And they freak themselves out so indefinitely that, you know, they... It really freaks them out long term.
What? But you got more still with that?
That's kind of, well, we can talk more about that, but go ahead and say what you're going to say.
What if their imagination is so strong? What if it is so powerful?
So now you're getting into tulpas.
They do create it.
We have, that's the second one. Oh. That's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, what if they actually do manifest these things?
Yeah, that's always a chance, like the tulpa, this power of manifestation, you know, this building the world around you kind of deal.
Yeah.
But for the that's we'll come back to tulpas. But for the full overactive imagination of a child, I don't know. I think that's a poor excuse for tired parents.
Yeah.
I think that the world is so much more mysterious and wonderful that I think the why the monsters come from under the bed or out of the closet isn't anything to really do with the bed or the closet. It's to do with these spaces that are void of light. You cannot see from where you're sitting in the bed.
Right.
The behind the closet door is a whole space. You have no idea what's in there until you open it. It's like the Schrodinger's cat.
Cat, yeah.
You have no idea what's in it underneath your bed. You're so close to it, but you literally have no idea what's under there.
Yeah.
So it's these power moves of these beings, if they're real, if these encounters are real. I think some of them could be. I remember a monster I imagined as a kid and I freaked myself out in our creek. Was a big long eel with 100 like legs, like a millipede that was coming to get me and my brother.
Yeah.
And I actually I made it up and I freaked myself out, but or did I?
Or did you? Did you see it?
But yeah, anyways. So I don't know. What are you going to go with the imagination, the overactive imagination of a child?
I mean, the kids do that, but to explain away all this, if it's
a humongous, we're talking about since we started living not underneath the trees, we started having this happen. You know, kids having monsters under the bed and kids persist, right. You know, persisting there's something in the dark. And it could come back to that, you know, we talked about in our Uncanny Valley episode that there are genetic fears.
Right, yeah.
And darkness is a genetic fear. And it's not that nobody is actually scared of the dark. It's the things in the dark.
Right, absolutely.
So for a kid now in a situation where we don't have to worry about lions getting us or bears or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, the only true dark place you have in your active environment is underneath the bed in the closet.
And that's so where the demons are hiding.
Or is it the lizard part of your brain still trying to be useful and be like, no, there could be something there. You know, you got to watch out. And then the overactive imagination is like,
no, there is something there. You got to watch out.
Like. Here's what it looks like. Yeah. Yeah. So is it a combination of that?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I mean... I can't say yes or no. Yes, it can be. It could be. Could be.
Could be.
Could be.
Could be.
Could be.
Yeah. I think some of them are. I don't know about these four or five I did.
I thought you were going to keep doing it.
I don't know if these four or five that we did today are that or are not that. I really don't know. I do think some times kids, just because I know me and I know what I did.
I know I've done it too.
But I also had a Bigfoot encounter when I was a kid.
Right, yeah.
So. I knew that was real. I know that was physical. But I also, like I said, made up a yellow eel with 100 legs that was coming to get us.
Yeah.
That I freaked myself out about.
Yeah.
I made it real into my own head.
That you had to get out of here.
I know. We came around to the house. I convinced Luke it was real, too.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, everybody, Luke was like, I was probably 6, so Luke was 4.
Right, yeah.
So he was just running because I was running.
Right, exactly.
So tulpas. There's just something to be said about the power of a child's mind.
That's true.
And movies from like Baby Genius kind of show it, like, you know, kind of make the joke that, you know, babies have all the answers to the universe, so they just can't
speak it. Yeah.
And there's Doctor Who even did an episode that they were stealing human kids to use as basically like an AI generator for a complex math problem because like kids think outside of the box, kids think of things that, So there is something to the power of the human mind and the environment. Specifically with kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kids haven't limited themselves, you know. They haven't put their own shackles on yet. Like,
said that at the beginning, the shackles of logic?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I didn't write it.
Well, I know. I'm just saying it's a good...
Mysterious Universe wrote that.
We should put that on a t-shirt. Don't be bound by the shackles of logic. Yeah.
Because it is, you know. I like talking about quantum physics even though I don't understand it. Because that's my favorite one because it just yells at all the other sciences and proves that they're all wrong.
See, contrarian you are. There we go. I like it.
Okay, Yoda.
So you like...
Contrarian you are.
Yeah, contrarian. You like... What'd you say? Metaphysics? I don't know.
Quantum physics.
I was close. But, same difference.
Yeah, so tulpas. Are these kids' minds so powerful that they're actually causing the activity themselves? Are they manifesting it to be?
What if, like with the kid with the bed, you know, where it's coming up and down?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if that wasn't actually happening, but his mind made him see it? Like, his mind forced his eyes to see.
So you're saying that he physically hallucinated due to his own mind?
Yes.
I'm not saying that it's out of the realm of possibility whatsoever, especially for a child. It's nothing against child. You believe your children.
Yeah.
But their brains are so powerful that they could trick themselves.
Right, yeah.
I mean, we have people that have, you know, phantom pregnancies because of that. Humans that literally...
They give birth to ghosts?
Yeah. No, humans literally... Well, if, you know what a phantom pregnancy is, right?
Yeah, where they think they're pregnant, right?
Like, your body thinks it's pregnant.
Because
you convinced your body you're pregnant. So it starts doing all the things.
Yeah.
And there's... Yeah.
And you're not.
Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it? It's like placebo effect, really.
Mm-hmm. It really is. So, yeah. I don't know.
The mind's a powerful thing.
So could they be making real tulpas, or could they be doing like this, like you're saying, manifesting inside their own mind?
Yeah. Creating like a hologram tulpas.
Yeah. There you go. Next one is an old familiar friend or foe, depending on how you view them. But they've done this kind of action before. Is this the Fae manifesting with what they think you want? So these kids, like we already talked about, they're boundless, what do you want to call it, psychic energy or brain activity. Mm-hmm. It's the same terminology, or same things, different terminology.
Right.
So if you are experiencing, Fae are often drawn to kids in most cultures, whether it's African, Asian, European, or North American.
Right.
Fae are often drawn to children specifically. So if these are trying to interact with these kids, and these kids are putting out, we've talked about with these paranormal Bigfoot, maybe the Fae, because you're putting out an image of a Bigfoot.
Right.
So and
that's,
hard.
That's what you want to see or expecting to see.
So they put on the face of a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And even like Whitley Strieber's, like their encounters with like the aliens and stuff like that, they would change depending on what you wanted to see.
Okay.
So they would put on like the one extra director that came to his house and to experience this stuff, you know, came in and he ran into a gray in the hallway. And he got panicked, and then the gray turned into a giant bird head that was screeching at him. And he ran away, and then the other guy explained to him, it's because you got scared, but they don't understand like we understand. So it thought you wanted a scary thing.
Yeah.
So it gave you a scary thing.
Yeah, a bird screeching at you.
So that's what's happening here. That's why it's kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
That's why the entities don't really make a lot of sense sometimes.
Like, yeah, they say reacting
cryptic
to you.
Things that don't make any sense. They do weird actions that don't really make any sense.
I think the one that where it said, you were supposed to die.
You'll never experience real happiness.
I feel like that might have been an intentional
I'm not saying it's not.
Statement.
I'm just saying that what if that's what we're experiencing is more Fae activity.
Right. Oh, no, I get you. I guess more or less, if it was, if that...
Not all of these have to be the same thing.
Correct. If that one, though, in particular was, I think she might have some issues she needs
to deal
with.
That was Dave the Fae, and he just doesn't like anybody.
Oh, he's just a jerk.
Okay.
Psychological, like, just causing psychological
issues. I literally just was listening to a Fae story of a little kid that was, in this research, a little kid that ended up in the Fae realm.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the ones that they had happened to him. One of the Fae was a jerk.
Oh, he's just
one of the guys. So yeah, like, was just an a-hole. The other Fae hated him too.
Yeah, every doesn't matter what culture you're in.
Everybody has one of them.
Yeah. Oh, what about like this? That includes like, did he go through like a fairy mound? That got brought up when I was at the Bigfoot and Banjos.
Mm-hmm.
That fairy mounds got brought up in some conversation.
No, fairy mounds are a real thing, and we've talked about that. I've talked about it, and you've on the show that I think some of the quote unquote Native American mounds, are actually fairy mounds, or Fae mounds,
mm-hmm.
and we just don't realize it.
Right. Yeah.
And I really think that they're doorways to the paranormal. That's how they're described in a lot of different cultures.
What if all the mounds were doorways?
I don't think all of the mounds. I think there was plenty of different types.
What if they were, though? Like,
sure.
Portals to the sky.
Well, then Ohio would just be one big portal.
Basically, that's why it's the heartland of America. That's why everything's here.
But, yeah, so what do you think of the Fae?
I would say yes, for sure, this could be a thing. But for some reason, I don't see them existing too much in, like, an urban household setting as much.
Sure, I can agree with that.
So I don't know.
I put a ton of things out there.
Yeah, so I kind of lean away from that one just for these ones in particular. Just for the fact of them being in pretty, sounds like urban settings for the most part.
My next three aren't good, just so you know.
Is it demons, pedophiles, and?
I guess my next four aren't good. Oh. Okay, I kind of lumped a couple of them together. It's not good.
Okay, what are they?
Ancient interdimensional predators of children. And I mean like as in carnivore predators, not like as in deviant predators.
Well, it could be both.
No, we'll get to them. They're coming.
Ancient ones?
No, see, it's ancient interdimensional predators of children. They feed on fear or something similar. Like we've talked about adrenochrome in kids and like the Anunnaki like or whatever harvesting.
Like on a Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah, where they're harvesting screams for power. Mm-hmm. Literally, that what if that's it? But not as in such a cartoony sense, as in they feed
off of kids' energy.
Yeah. And sleep deprivation and stuff like that. You know, very...
If you're keeping a kid from sleeping, you know, they're going to be in that state of like...
Panic constantly.
Yeah, anxious, yeah.
Yeah. So what if that's what's happening here? These are, whether you want to call them interdimensional, extra-dimensional, these are, you know, the fourth, you know... I'm not saying they have to be intelligent.
No, but they're just...
But they're predators. They're psychic vampires in a way. Mm-hmm. That there are these things that feed off these. And why do they attack kids? Because it's the easiest group to go for.
Right.
Kids are almost often alone at night. You know, couples are always, you know, generally in the same bed together. Yeah. Adults, you know, grandparents are likely to just shoot whatever walks in the room.
So kids.
Yeah. So it's the most vulnerable group, it's, you know, in this scenario.
And I don't think I can hear the word psychic vampires anymore without hearing it in Alex Jones's voice. They're coming for your kids.
Well, they are.
I know. They're psychic vampires.
They are. They're psychic vampires coming for your kids.
I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying I cannot physically hear it.
You know how you tell Alex Jones is right or wrong on a subject? You get a little wheel that's 50-50, right, wrong, just spin it.
Okay.
And it'll be right.
It always lands on right?
No, whatever it picks.
Oh, the wheel decides.
Yeah. Because he says stuff that I think is just insane, and then he says stuff that I'm like, yeah, I agree.
And then this insane stuff 10 years later, it's like, oh, crap.
So
it's relevant now.
These ancient predators, I mean, we've talked about with like the Uncanny Valley stuff, that was more of a physical predator.
Right.
Like an actual thing hunting us, like for food. And these, I think, may be...
More of a mental predator.
Or they've walked with us since we went to the caves.
Mm.
You know, that they've always just kind of been in the shadows. These are the shadow, you know. And maybe that's why adults experience shadow people a little differently.
Ooh.
Is that they need a more intense version. But maybe kids are easier to feed off of. So it's maybe we don't get as much food.
Or maybe just kids
but it's just easier to get.
Kids can get that... or they can perceive them easier. So it's easier to get a reaction out of them. Whereas in an adult where they got the shackles of logic, you know, blocking them up, it takes more of an effort to get them to react or notice or be scared. So it's more energy use. Yeah. Kids are just easier.
So what do you think about that one?
Scary.
demons, my next one.
So, which is basically the same thing as psychic vampire, right?
I guess, in a sense, it's what the goal is.
Yeah, okay.
Like
turtles and tortoises.
I guess.
Yeah.
No, to me, I guess the difference would be with the goal for this interaction.
Right.
This would be just to torment.
Yeah.
And these kids are obviously being heavily tormented. A lot of kids, and like I said, there's going to be some dark ones coming up. A lot of these kids, I read several stories that we didn't include in this that committed suicide.
Oh, gosh, that's bad.
You know, because it's sleep deprivation leads to a lot of that.
Yeah.
We already mentioned it causes high levels of anxiety, depression. So are these demonic beings that are seeing which kids break under the pressure?
Man, and then targeting kids like that maybe?
Yeah, and then putting more energy, you know, testing a whole bunch of kids.
Yeah.
They don't break easily, moving on to the next group of kids. This has been talked about forever with kids and demons. So what if that's what's happening here? These are literally, I guess, like I said, the difference between a psychic vampire and this would be the goal.
Right, yeah.
And one's to feed and one's just to torture.
Yeah. Man.
Like I said, I found several that I didn't include because it involved a lot of suicide.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
Where they talk about their brother or their sister was experiencing it with them and they killed themselves.
Yeah. It's horrible.
But real.
Very real, yeah.
So is it a demon? You know, I don't know. What do you think?
Sounds like it on that one, especially some of those examples.
Several, like I said.
Yeah.
I found literally several.
That sounds pretty demonic.
Yeah, and I guess my last one could be the same. I have one more before the last one.
Okay.
Abduction screen memories.
Ooh, what they just remember after being abducted.
So, or during the abduction or replacing the abduction. So kids, if you watch shows like SVU, they kind of talk about it, or you watch actual criminal cases and stuff like that, kids have the amazing ability, their brain, to save itself.
Okay.
They will come up with the craziest things that happened instead of the actual experience.
For what reasons?
Normally it's, everybody, this is your content warning coming up towards the end. Molestation.
Okay,
is a big one.
Like to block it out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Witnessing horrible crimes.
Yeah.
Like a murder, rape, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So kids have come up with like literally saying that they've seen a monster do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, and I'm not saying a guy that rapes a woman is not a monster. Right, he obviously is.
Right.
But for the kid describing it as, you know, much more monster-esque.
Rather than a human being.
Because it helps save their brain. It helps, you know, save their psyche.
Yeah.
So.
Dang.
What if that's happening with aliens? Like that these whatever aliens are, the grays, and we know that from abductions.
Yeah.
They're literally torturous events.
Yeah.
So is it easier just to be like, oh, I can't sleep at night because the monster under the bed is making loud noises? Or I can't sleep at night because he's, you know,
I'm being abducted and probed for, and,
well, you know, and all kinds of person molested by these creatures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think about that one?
I think you might be onto something here.
And the last one I have is, like I said, this content warning, actual molestation by people.
Yeah. Now, also,
yeah, that's what I was joking.
Try the worst one.
Not joking, kind of joking earlier with like the first one you got, like literally abuse.
Yeah.
It may have been his abuse.
Yeah.
He may have been projecting it. Mm. Kids do that. Like mm-hmm. I said, their brains are amazingly adept at protecting their own psyche
mm-hmm.
at all cost. And like I said, a lot of these stories lead to suicide.
Yeah, it's super sad.
So does molestation. A lot of kids kill themselves if they don't get help because they don't talk about it.
Yeah, and they don't know how to deal with it.
Right.
I mean, and you shouldn't have to deal with it.
Because 90% of the time, it's a trusted adult.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so what if it's that they do experience monsters, but the monsters are people, and these are memories that they're making to help deal with those traumas.
Yeah. Yeah. Very well could be. As sad as it is to say, yes.
So if you had to pick one.
Oh, I don't really want to pick one. Let's just say if I had to say anything, believe your kids.
Protect, always believe your kids.
Protect your kids. And man, I don't know. It's just, it definitely took a sad twist at the end there.
I'm sorry.
Some monsters... But some monsters are not creatures out in the woods.
I'm more scared of people than I am Bigfoot.
Yep. Some of the monsters are human beings, and you must be the change you seek in the world. Be the change you wish to see in the world. Don't count on others to do it. It's got to start with you.
I have been the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I've been Jay...
Okay. We'll catch you next week, guys. Bye.
Just couldn't remember my number.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival,